Tanahi, do you know your duty here on Earth as a black man?
Yes.
What is that?
To love and to protect.
Good. Anything else?
Yes, to honor God.
Good.
It ain't nothing like a black man. Ooh, black skin dripping, it's a melanin. I wonder if he knows he got it within. He's so goddamn fine, it should be a sin. He articulate, intelligent, fly. It ain't nobody better than him. The apple to a black woman's eye. He got the kind of light that no man could ever dim. Black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You was smart, you was kind, you was sweet, and you can do anything. I said you can do anything. Black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You was smart, you was kind, you was sweet, and you can do anything. I said you can do anything.
Your strength, your love, heaven sent from above. Black man, black man. Black man, black man.
He's a father and a brother, uplifting our daughters and our mothers. Provider and a son, and I ain't talking about the summer. But he hot enough to melt some butter, bright enough to light the world with his skin color. Black man, you a masterpiece. Missing piece to the puzzle, without it I'm incomplete. A black man that rolls and grooves in the concrete. Opening all doors, you a master key. I said black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You was smart, you was kind, you was sweet, and you can do anything. I said you can do anything. Black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. Everything. You was smart, you was kind, you was sweet, and you could do anything. I said you can do anything.
Your strength, your love.
Welcome to Africa 500. Diaspora, welcome to the show. Welcome back to Africa 500. We are streaming across the diaspora. You just heard Taronda Jones, Black Man. Fire, fire. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Today, y'all in for a special, just a special, brilliant show today. We're going to be talking about, and we've talked about this quite a bit, today's topic is child support enforcement, the war on black fatherhood. And we got a very special guest in the studio with us today, Bobby Rocks, who is also a radio host. We always love having radio hosts in. WPFW, Jazz and Justice, also founder of Strive 365. We're going to be having some in-depth conversation with him. And, of course, I have our illustrious host. He's joining us today, Brother Ty. Say hi, Brother Ty, to everybody across the diaspora.
Hey.
You got to speak up a little bit. Try it again.
Hello.
All right, there we go. We got Brother Ty with us, always speaking truth to power. And of course, today, Africa 500, as always, is sponsored by Morton Modern Movers, transportation business, 120 years old. So glad to have them. I'm going to do just a sound check real quick. Bobby Rocks, are you with us?
I am here. Thank you for having me.
I love it. So, folks, as I mentioned, we've been talking a lot on this show, we always do, about this assault on the black man, black masculinity. We've done several series on the black boy. Jawanza Kajufa writes about that. Dr. Umar Johnson talks about that. But after doing the research and preparing for this show, I was just horrified. The child support, quote unquote, the enforcement courts, how it just is pummeling the black man, not to just not do anything, but even just his masculinity, to be a man, period. And so we've seen this timeline where you had the kidnapping, the Africans brought here, the plantation, black men always separated from his woman, lynching, his reproductive organs cut from him. Even to today, this feminization of black men, which has been put the gas on. You have black men themselves cutting up their own reproductive organs. It's just a 24/7 attack that's been on the black man, the black family. So, folks, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to add this to the timeline, these courts, the judicial system. Just before we get started, I just want to play, we're going to play a short video. It's about 2 minutes, and this is about a sister talking about the child support enforcement process, and then we're going to go right to Bobby Rocks, and he's going to explain to us what we just heard. So, folks, we're going to give you a little context, and she's going to speak, and then we're going to Mr. Rocks. All right, Brother Richard.
Two people get together and have a baby. Those two people break up. They co-parent well together. He is financially providing as much as he can, but he still has to keep a roof over his head, food in his mouth, and a car. Because when the baby comes to visit, the baby needs somewhere to sleep. And when the mama needs me to come and pick the baby up, it's got to get in a car, okay? So the mother tries to find a way to fill the need. She goes down to DHS and she applies for child care voucher, Families First, 10 care, only to find out in order to get those assistance or those resources, she has to put this man on child support, although he's doing above and beyond what child support is going to do. He's okay with it. She's okay with it. They go ahead and get this child support order started so she can get the assistance that they both need to take care of this baby, only to have this man trapped into the child support system. So heaven forbid his hours get cut back at work. There is no modification for child support if the change is not more than 30 days. So he gets behind. That means eventually his driver's license is taken. That means when he is racially profiled and pulled over driving, he has no insurance, he has no driver's license, he's got to go to court, there's court costs, there's a financial hardship that is hard to get out of. Or if he's afraid of the justice system, just like a lot of men are, he doesn't go to court, the bench warrant is issued for his arrest, and he's arrested, taking him away from his job and his child. If it goes past that, and he's behind in child support more than $1,000 in the state of Tennessee, that's a felony. They will show up at your job, they will show up at your house, they will arrest you, and they will put you in jail until, one, either a certain percentage of the arrears is paid, which you don't have, otherwise you would have paid it in the first place, or two, they put you in a work release program. Sounds good, huh? It's not. Because when they put you in the work release program, they take a percentage of your income and send it to child support after they take a percentage of your income and pay it back to the state for your room and board and transportation, because they are housing you while they force you to go to work for a felon approved workplace. You don't even get to keep your job. So if you was making more money at your original job than you are at this felon approved workplace, they make you make less money and they still take out the same amount of child support. And they take out a certain percentage to pay to the state because they are housing you and transporting you, and you are away from your kid, and the mom is still struggling to provide for this child because she's getting less child support than she was in the first place, and now your bond with your child is in jeopardy, and the mother is left to physically and emotionally provide for this child by herself. Sounds like a scam to me.
Bobby Rocks. What did we just hear? What are we listening to? What is this?
That is a lot that she said,
yes.
But she is absolutely correct. She is correct. She said nothing wrong. So that sister is certainly on point. And not only it's happening in Tennessee, but it's happening everywhere.
Yes.
It's in every state. So the thing is that we have to now band together as a countrywide united front. It's happening in Philadelphia. It's happening in Richmond, Virginia. It's in North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland. Wherever. So the thing is that we now have to come in and say, hey, the time is now for us to band together when we have access to technology like never before. How is it that we have more access to technology, to the ability to communicate with each other, and we're more disenfranchised than ever?
Also, too, you know, Bobby Rock says, as I was doing the research, I did not know that Walter Scott, the one that got killed down Carolina in his back, he was running, but he had a warrant out for his arrest because of child support over $6,500. And so this man is dead, shot in the back, and it's connected. Over 70% of people that's incarcerated has some type of child support cases. Over 80%, 90% under $20,000 a year. You can't even afford to pay this child support. Can you speak to just how the whole thing is just, I mean, it's just set up, not just to stop the black, to separate the black man from his family, his children, but just to just totally demasculate him. Can you speak to just judicially, just the process, how it's set up, Bobby?
Well, it's modern day slavery. Slavery has never went anywhere. It just manifested in different forms. So what's happening, what you see, what's happening with the deconstruction of the black family, and we put it on the father, and it's definitely happened to the father and the children, but it's a whole entire family. Sometimes when you get displaced anger from the mom, she's thinking that she's doing the right thing, but like the sister said in the script and the clip that you played, is that she's going down to child support, has to put his name down on the form, social security number, whatever information she has, and now automatically he is now in the system.
Yes.
So the whole entire family suffers. She, you know, yes. It's like you're thinking that you're gaining something by going to get, and look, some sisters need it, understand it, but look, as a community, why can't we help those sisters? Why can't the church? Mm-hmm. We have churches on every corner. Why are we not able to help our own people? Why are we going to outside sources mm-hmm. and forces mm-hmm. to be able to get resources for ourselves? Mm-hmm. You know how much black people earn in a year collectively? Billions. We spend billions on things too. So we have enough money to fund our own people, mm-hmm. but we don't do it. So people are forced to go to the government entities, and then it's a trap, and they sign up for it, and now your family is on the chopping block. So what has to happen is that we need to educate each other. We need to have a full-on conversation. We need Kathy Hughes in here because she has the biggest radio network across the United States of America. She's playing these songs that are not helping these young ladies and young men work with each other. So we got to have that conversation on the television front, on the radio front, on the political front, so we can figure out how to get this done and get it done fast, because the black family, it's not even now, it's been happening. 30, 40 years ago, this thing started. We was winning. The 60s, all of those brothers and sisters in the 60s, they gave it to the government. Believe that. You're talking about Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and the young Fred Hampton. You know, they killed that brother. Why? Because he was uniting the people. Young, smart, 21-year-old Chairman Fred Hampton was educating the people, and they took them out. So what's happening now is that we don't have people who are willing to step up and be leaders. Everybody's scared. They want somebody else to do it. So the thing is that if you keep doing that, like the great Malcolm X said, the chickens will come home to roost. So if you don't get in the game and do your job, it's coming straight to your doorstep. So it's time for all of us to unite and get it right.
Brother Ty, I wanted to bring you in the clip we just heard of the sister. And Bobby Rock said something really important. He talked about going to the court, the forces, to get resources. What are we looking at? We talk about child support, the enforcement, the crime, because this isn't talked about enough, the child support enforcement, the monies they could take away, your driver's license, your passport, your job. I mean, yeah, what is this? What are we looking at? And do the
you have people who owe, it's people who owe, you got people who are embezzling money, who don't go to jail. And you got Rocks. People who are taking and stealing money and doing those things. It's out of here.
Yeah, Bob. Okay, but Ty, what are we hearing? And then also, I think it's important that, like you said, the woman is trying to make it, but you end up going to the courts, to the system, the very ones that have oppressed us. What are we looking at? What are we seeing?
I can approach it a couple of different ways. One of them is Naeem Akbar, the psychologist, explained that we've been indoctrinated with a number of mental disorders. One of them is alien self-disorder, which means that the average person of color, they hate themselves. And all they do is chase around for material things. A second one is anti-self-disorder. This is a person who not only hates himself, he hates other black people. And he actively engages in behaviors that set up to destroy the average black person. And he works with the dominant culture in terms of, well, I can marry a white woman. That's to please the dominant culture, but at the same time, he's showing that a hatred for himself. Then there's self-destructive disorder. Self-destructive disorder are the pimps, the prostitutes, the drug dealers, etc. A lot of these brothers and that we're talking about that's got these problems with child support enforcement, they are the average brother on the street. And so they got what we call average jobs. And so they ain't making a whole lot of money. And keep in mind that the context is we've been discriminated against in terms of employment. So in the terms of the context, we got to fight with that first and foremost. And then if we got a record, employers don't even want to hire us. So, and the sister, when you study the history of the enslavement process, they were paying white men extra money to have copulate with black females. And so they put black females on a higher pedestal than the black male in many cases. So this black woman is coming into the 21st century, and they didn't train her to think that a black man ain't nothing. All he want to do is have sex and be irresponsible. So that hatred comes up, alien self-disorder or anti-self-disorder, comes up And she challenges him. Bobby Rock was saying that she go down to the man and say, look, he ain't paying me no money, et cetera, et cetera. She ain't stopped to think the ramifications of this whole process. What's going to happen? It's going to destroy the entire family, and the kid ain't going to have a father there, or the kids ain't going to have a father there to support them, because he's going to be incarcerated, or he's going to be on the run, or he might end up putting that pistol back in his hand if he ever did, and start doing things to break law, because living in America, you got to have some kind of wealth. Nobody wants to be poor.
So, you know, it's interesting hearing Brother Ty, you know, you're describing a cycle. Just to give y'all some figures, it says national child support debt over the past 30 years is $115 billion. 25% has unpaid interest.
One of the things that Bobby Rock said is slavery.
Yes.
And slavery, all it did is morph or change to fit the circumstances. More sophisticated, more refined now. Mm. But it's a system. Under the system of labor. Dr. Wilson.
I gotta
go ahead, Bobby.
I gotta
say
that brother right there is preaching, man. Thank you so much for those, you know, just giving that information about the mental instability, because that is definitely real. Yeah. It's sad. There's so many different things to really unpack. This probably needs to be a 10-part series.
it's a
number from the Pew.
Yes.
From the Pew Research Academy. Mm-hmm. This is a stat from the Pew Research Academy. Mm-hmm. 22% of children live away from their fathers. That's the Caucasian number. 22% of Caucasian fathers live away from their children. Mm-hmm. The number doubles to more than 44% of African-American men live away from their children. So we wonder why these carjackings have happened, that mass shooting in Baltimore that happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. All of these different things that are happening is that the father is not in the house. Now, the narrative is that the father left. Daddy didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. But he's a deadbeat dad. That's not true. When you really unpack court, and I can unpack it really well and show the stats, okay? I'm a news reporter. That's my background. So I have the numbers to back up what I'm saying. It's most fathers want to be active. They want to be present, even if they don't know or have all the tools to be super successful. Naturally, they want to be in the picture, and they try to be in the picture, but I'm going to be really, really direct. You get judges, and you get these lawyers that know exactly what they're doing. They're friends with the judges. And then you get people who have displaced anger, and they put it on the father because you didn't do what I wanted you to do. You're not parenting how I want you to parent. So we're going to go to court about this, and we're going to deconstruct the family. So it's actually hurting her. She's shooting her own self in the foot. But we have to have a conversation about what is causing this. And one of the things that's causing it is the judges. We don't have that conversation enough. We talk about, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter movement with the officers. All of these officers were the issue. But we never had the conversation about the judges being the issue. So when Breonna Taylor, when she lost her life, that was because of the judge. Okay, the officer, he shot the gun, but it was the judge, the circuit court judge, to be really direct. The circuit court judge was the person who signed off on that no-knock warrant. Okay? Those circuit court judges are the same judges that are called family court judges. People think that family court is like a special type of judge. No, that is a circuit court judge. Those are the same judges that sentence people to 30, 40 years. They hear the murder trials and all of the heinous crimes that happen. So check this out. When you're looking, when you have criminals who come to court and they're presented, they have their day in court, what are the criminals wearing? They typically have on a suit. They have on suits. Okay, they dress up for that day. They have on suits. When most men come to court, too, for civil situations, we're talking about that's criminal. We're talking about civil. That black man is also showing up in a suit. They look the same to the judges. Okay, so what's happening is that the judges, they look at all of us the same. It is a debtor's prison when it comes to child support. And like I said before, slavery has never changed. It just manifested into something else. And they're coming up with excuses. Excuses are the use of incompetent and are often used as tools to build monuments of nothing. These judges are lying, and they're just throwing people in jail left and right.
No, Bobby.
Or silly things.
Bob Ross, you know, you mentioned something very important. And Brother Ty, I want you to come. You mentioned about the judges. And I think that's important. But also, Brother Ty, you've said this several times, you still have the hand of white supremacy, white people interfering with our families. This is white people, white men, women saying, y'all need to do it like this. We want you to do it like this. Still, and this is what Bobby Ross talked about, slave. Y'all still are slaves.
Subterfuge, manipulation, deceit, dominant culture, their ego personality, they introject and they project onto people of color what they feel about us. And in doing so, they structure the circumstances under which we live. Think about B.F. Skinner. B.F. Skinner was a behaviorist, and he did a rat experiment. And the rat experiment, he had the rat. If the rat would not eat, could not drink water, could not eat anything or drink water or whatever, unless it pressed a button. Over a matter of time, weeks, months, whatever, the rat became abnormal because being in that situation, it was its environment was controlled by an outsider. It's the same way with people of color from the enslavement process up to now. Our situation has been structured from day one. And when I say it's been structured, we have been labeled stereotypically as criminals, as prostitutes, as bad people, as Negroes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, dope fiends, et cetera. So we done fell into that. It had become normalized now. It's become normal to the point that, like the sister was saying, you first started talking, it's become normal for us to live like this here. And as Bobby Rock said, unless we get together, come together. Mm-hmm. But to close out, what I'm saying is, when you structure an environment like the environment that's been structured for people of color, the dominant culture has done this. They stay in the background and set up, and they're the puppeteer. And they stay in the background, the puppeteer, they structure the environment, and they project into us, they interject into us ideas. They subvert our original consciousness, our authentic self of who and what we were as a group of people, and give us another and teach us another mentality, a narrative that's white. And the white narrative supports the status quo, the ideas that they educate us on, whether in school or out of school. They narrate, they teach us a certain socialization process, and that socialization process is that we should always remain inferior to white people and listen to what they say, because what they say and what they do, we should follow. That's why Jesus is God and he's white. By extension, if Jesus is God and he's white, all white people are good people. Black people are nothing.
And white people are God.
And white people are God.
That's your God. Wow. Bobby Ross. Got church going on.
The brother is definitely talking. I like the way he talks. We got to start. You know, it's great to talk, and I love when I do interviews. I'm talking to, you know, at this point, millions of people. But what I try to challenge people to do is we got to talk. The dialogue is important, and we have to continue to talk. But we have to start putting a plan of action in place. You got children who are checking out. The suicide rate is off the meter now. It was a thing before the pandemic, but it worsened. It was exacerbated in the pandemic because a lot of the children were at home with their abusers. So they're taking themselves out. You got 7, 8, 9-year-olds checking out. And what's happening is that the court is instigating it. It is a case that happened in the pandemic. It's Rajay Black and Wendy Black. It happened out of Howard County, Maryland. This is how I'm going to explain to you really fast how the judges are making things worse. We're having problems when we come to court. I'm not going to dispute that. But when you get there and you have a person, and a judge is actually a person that we're paying their salary, okay? That is taxpayers' dollars that are paying the judge's salary. How is it that we get to court and they make the matters worse? So in the case of Rajay and Wendy Black, they were going to court since 2018. and you can read his papers. They're public records. And he's asking, he's just fighting to be in his child's life. He's fighting to be in his child's life. And what happens is that she's willing to get protective order. Now, I don't know if he really needed the protective order or not, but there's a lot of brothers that are getting protective orders on them as a means to control their custody and the access to their child. So nonetheless, they went to Howard County, Maryland Court. That's a circuit court. And they were before, I'm calling judge's name out because you have to call these people's name out. Judge Timothy McCrone, William Tucker, so you can look them up and know who they are. Okay? They went before both of these judges. Okay? And what happened is that they were going back and forth for 5 years. Unfortunately, in 2021, he has a girlfriend that he's dating. And this is not a brother, because, you know, the stereotype is the uneducated man that doesn't have money is the one that's wilding out. The uneducated sister that doesn't have any money is the one wilding out. The hood sisters and the hood brothers is what the stereotype is, what they put on it. So these people are doctors and anesthesiologists, okay? He has a girlfriend. His girlfriend says, I'm going to do exactly what your wife is doing, because she's pregnant with this child. He grabs a gun, shoots that girl, okay, his girlfriend, drives, that was in Baltimore, Maryland. He drives to Howard County, finds his ex-wife, goes on Facebook Live, and says, I'm tired of the courts. I'm tired of being blamed for something that I never did. I want to see my children. That's all he has. That's the only family that he has. And the courts are making it harder. And he said, so today he's going to end it all. So he went and shot his ex-wife and he shot himself. That was Rajay Black and Wendy Black. You can Google it and look it up. In Howard County, Maryland, you have five other cases that I can pull from you and tell you and show you that the brothers and the sisters are fighting just the same. In front of the same judges. So how is it that these judges keep finding these cases? They would say that it's the people coming to court. I'm going to say it is them pouring gasoline on a fire. So we have to, one thing that we can start doing is saying that, how do we get the judges off the bench?
Bring our own judges in.
I'm going to pull you in a little bit. Brother Richard, you want to say something? Go ahead, Brother Richard, our engineer and producer. Go ahead, Brother Richard.
Yeah, I think this is a great conversation. One of the things that both the guest and Brother Ty was mentioning is that this is like slavery. You know, and then Brother Ty says something is more sophisticated. So they got all these guidelines and rules in place to enforce these rules on us. And I have a friend right now who's going through a bad child support battle with his mother. And it's to the point where, you know, the courts have blocked him from seeing his child. And at one point he had part, what is it called?
Custody.
Temporary custody, where he could see her on every other weekend. And the pandemic happened. So for the whole entire pandemic, he was not able to see his child, even with that court order in place. The mother would not allow him to see his child. He had to get law enforcement involved. The law enforcement came to the house. The mother would not open the door to allow him to see his child. Get back in court. They penalized him for not seeing the child. And now they took his full custody away. Now he has to have supervised visitation. And they put that into him and his mother don't have a good relationship, so they gave his mother the responsibility of being supervised visitation. So just month recently, he only get once a month to see her, visitation, supervised. So she tells him, I can't do it this month. He hasn't seen her in 2 years. He got a court order. He's been fighting all of this fight, and he still can't see his child.
What we're dealing with is one word, contradictions. And this particular situation that we're talking about is a major contradiction in the struggle of people of color since our sojourn here in this strange land. And what we see, not only this problem, but the suicide problem, the homosexuality problem, the drug addiction problem, the being poor problem, being politically powerless problem, etc. All these problems are derived from the fact that the way the system is structured the number one thing is the dominant culture has set it up that the white people will be in a superior position and the black people will be always be in an inferior position. And being in an inferior position, they have to actively establish laws, rules, etc., because people of color have resisted from day one. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, David Walker, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, etc., etc., etc. We have already resisted the situation that we've been in. And now, people like Bobby Rock are focusing on child support, which is another major sore spot that's endemic in the black community and that's crippling us. So now we have to resolve this problem, find ways to resolve this problem. And it's good that we're talking about it because one of the things that the brain is for, the number one thing that the brain is for, is to solve problems. And we can solve the problem.
These public child support laws was part of federal legislation that was started around the 70s and 80s. And we got to keep in mind, think about the context of the 70s, 80s about black people. I am no doubt crystal sure that this is part of the mass incarceration. I'm so glad we're talking about this. It's child support and enforcement. But also I want to read y'all some numbers. About over the last 30 years, $115 billion is owed in child support. 25% of that is unpaid interest. It's just in Florida alone. They keep about $6 billion of that. In California, $2.5 billion from parents. State kept about $430 million of $2.7 billion. So one of the folks here I was reading, they give child support. They got to pay $550. The state keeps $200-something. So even if you're paying child support, if the mother goes in, you're still not getting all of it because the state is keeping half, if not more. So I wanted to take a little break. I want us to come back and talk about some recommendations because I think Bobby Rock said something very important is all the money that we spend a year as people of African descent, is it some type of way we begin to help these mothers, these children, to take care, help fund, some type of fund? Is it some type of way where we can prevent just from us, period, going into the court system? Can we sell some type of villages, some type of ecosystems, so we're not going to the court system, so we can shut this down, this legislative oversight, continued plantation management of people of African descent? So we're going to play a little bit of Moo Moo Fresh. I know we're officially Moo Moo Station. We love Moo Moo. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about recommendations.
What's up, party people? This is your girl, Sherry Duval, on WTLC, rocking for the hardworking folks. Just getting off of one gig and headed to another. But in this crazy Friday rush hour traffic, I got a jam that'll smooth you out and get you right for the night. I'm about to split, but before I do, an instant classic from none other than Maya Moon and Youssef. Dig the lyrics, Jack. She's dropping some knowledge and making you feel good. A little inspiration from your favorite station. A groove to get you in the mood. Some sounds for your get down. I know it's rough out there, y'all. The man's put all weight on your neck. But don't worry about that, sucker. Just shine your light, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
Keep on walking with your head held high. You heard it from the sky. We ain't gonna let them bring us down. You know we come too far to give up now. Chosen people bear the hardest load. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, you know. Give them thanks cause we got so. Baby, shake it off and let the good time roll.
All right, Diaspora, welcome back. If y'all just joined us, you're joining Africa 500. Today is Wisdom, July 5th. We are talking about child enforcement support in the war on black fatherhood, war on black families, with a very special honored guest, Bobby Rocks, who himself is a radio host. I first heard him, I was driving, turned WPFW, and I heard this gentleman speaking, which was him, and then I turned it back on a couple of months later. He was talking about the same topic. Then I turned it back on. I was like, okay, something to this. And I started becoming more aware and paying attention. I'm like, we got to do a show on this. And so this is the show. We're talking about the ramifications, the legislative ramifications, the breaking up the black family. We have Brother Todd with us, of course, Brother Rich is here. But we want to begin to talk about what some things we can do to begin to shut this down, to stop this pipeline of black mothers and fathers going into the courts to manage our families, to manage our children. It keeps us separated. I want to get from you, Bobby Ross, and I'm going to go, Brother Todd, your suggestions, things we can begin to do now. How can we even just avoid going into the courts, period? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, certainly the thing is that, like you said, when you tune into the show, I'm talking about it on a continual basis, because it was Jawan Zakujupu who said, I don't know, somebody else may have said it, but I heard him say it some years ago when he was on a panel discussion, what you do most is what you're going to do best. Mm-hmm. And then there's a book by Malcolm Gladwell, it's called Outliers, and he breaks down, he talks about how Michael Jordan, and he's talking about the Beatles and all these different people spending 10,000 clock hours, real hours, on what made them, you know, who we know they are today. So we got to spend time. We got to stay on time. You know, there's a whole thing about keep your eyes on the prize. That song in that documentary series back in the day. We have to stay on this on a continual basis, because there's so many different things that people are going to try to insert and institute and distract us with. But this is the biggest crisis. This is the biggest problem that we have in the United States of America. If our children are not okay, if our families are battling each other, the mother and father are up in arms, and the fathers, all of these fathers, 44% of black fathers are living away from their kids, we have a huge problem. So you're talking about just the money that is owed to the child support system. And look, I go to church. I got some church friends. I got pastors that I love. And you know, we came up together, and I got some elders that have schooled me and trained me up. But we got to definitely place some of this blame with the black church. The black church as a whole brings in $15 million per Sunday. That's $60 million per month. I'm trying to figure out how come all of this money is coming into the church, but there's no processes and things in place to educate our people. We leave the church every Sunday and we cut the television and the radio on, which is Caucasian or Asian owned. So we're being programmed. And we're being programmed on a continual basis. You see 5,000 advertisements per day. So no wonder why we can't get together and do anything, because we're watching TV. We're listening to all these crazy songs. And then we're on the radio, and they're talking about nothing. So if we're going to get together and make some things happen, we have to, one of the things, and somebody's not going to like what I'm saying, we got to log off the internet. We're on the internet too much. All right. We got to log off and go back to how our ancestors was doing. They were planning behind closed doors. They had continual conversation. When they did their full-time job, they went and they got together and they met somewhere and they were working for their community. We have to build a community. Dick Gregory says, the black people, we don't have one. So that's why we have to go to other people and ask them for help. And the brother said, we got to get our own judgments. So the thing is that why do we continue? How do we have judges that are not from our neighborhood, do not have our best interests? Do not have our best interest, get a chance to sit on the bench and tell us what to do. We're asking a stranger that does not like us and does not know us to make a final decision for our children. Something that we're supposed to make the final decision for. We're asking a stranger. We don't know what that person's background is, what their outlook is, how they think about you and I. And we're asking those people to make a final decision. So there are 12 states in the United States of America, including the state of Maryland, where citizens have the opportunity to vote a judge in or out. And a lot of people don't know this. Ask about the presidency and the governors, and we'll know exactly who's running and we're going to vote for them. But we don't pay attention to the judges' election, which is probably and arguably the most important election as it pertains to black people, because in the state of Maryland, 70% of Maryland's jail population is black. We only make up 30% of the entire population of the state of Maryland as citizens. But in jail, we're 70%. That is more than former Confederate states combined right now. South Carolina and Mississippi, you can put them together. And Alabama and Maryland still has more people in jail than those three states combined right now. That's a report that's out on the internet.
Bobby, let me ask you.
So how is this happening?
I wanted to ask you, as you're talking and as you mentioned, this is a national crisis across all the states. One of the things some men and the mothers and fathers have worked it out where they don't go into courts at all. She has mm-hmm. not taken him for child support. He is not in that process. He gives her money. He sees his children. They have an understanding. They're not together. And I guess underneath that, we unpack that is this constant way the system, but I think you use the word manipulate, has pitted the black man, black woman against each other, to constantly keep us separated. And I'm thinking as I'm listening to you talk, parenting classes, just this whole of should we have some type of classes, community, where we're talking to the young black men, talking to the young sisters. This is what parenting is. This is what motherhood is, fatherhood, where there's still a sustainable type of communication going on with them. And they not going to, as you say, forces that do not like us, don't care about us, and their only means will be negative. So I guess underneath, and I know you mentioned about community, but can we begin to have something where we can work this out ourselves? Basically, we ain't got to go to it, but I say the white man. We can work this out amongst
I'm
ourselves.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm mm-hmm. glad you said that, sister. Absolutely. Yes, certainly, if there is an opportunity, because I was asking, I went on an award tour, like Tribe Called Quest and said, because I was asking the leaders of the churches, can you all put some programming in and to do this? And I'm asking the look, and there's some good pastors out here. Let me say this, there's some good judges out here too, but there are a small amount of good judges, okay? And what I'm starting to find out is that a lot of pastors, and I'm going to be really direct with it, and somebody, if give them my email address if they have an issue with what I'm about to say.
Pence.
But most pastors are staying out of the struggle. They are not getting into it. I've asked them to come to court so they can see what's going on with the black family. They don't want to go to court. They don't want to get involved. They just want to stay in the pulpit, stay in their church, and it's not happening. I'm telling them there's a whole war going on outside, like my dude said.
But
and they're not getting involved.
Brett, you want to speak to you? He's a fidgeter.
Well,
go ahead. That's interesting.
One of the adaptations of dysfunctional behaviors during the enslavement process and afterwards was to become a pastor. And becoming a pastor or a Christian pastor was a way of escaping the wrath of the white man. Because the white man, when you preach in church, you preach about a white Jesus and whatnot. And that's what he gave us during the enslavement process. Don't hurt your master. Look for your pie in the sky after you're gone. So that leads to a whole group of people that are supposed to be leaders in the black community. But guess what? When you in the church, everybody come in the church, all their emotions and their frustrations, and the white man outside in his car watching to see what happens. And the preacher is doing his job by taking all that emotion and whatnot and got the black people channeling right up to the sky somewhere where that energy should be going into working in the community and whatnot. And they pocketing that money and got those big old churches with the big old houses and about two or three of the congregation's wives somewhere stuck in their back pocket like that there. And you can get mad at me too. But I have worked for preachers in this town. I'm a trucker.
But Ty, something you were saying earlier when I was mentioning about recommendations, you were saying that...
Well...
Go ahead.
Well, because I'm in the field of history and psychology, if I had my way, I would get together a group of psychologists, like the African-centered psychology group back in the 60s was Naeem Akbar, Wade Nobles, and a bunch of them young brothers say, we're going to break away from European or Western psychology because it doesn't help black people in terms of their mental makeup. We need a different kind of psychology. So they came up and started dealing with African history and the deep structure and culture of African culture to find out what it was that allowed people of color to make it through the enslavement process. What was in their head? What was in their genetics? What was in their potential that allowed us to make it through that? So if I had my way, I would like to bring together a group of psychologists and psychiatrists and other leaders who were on the, they had to be somewhat on the same page from an African-centered perspective and understand that this is our journey, because right now, this journey is about to end in genocide, complete genocide. And how do we reverse it? And we had to develop a program, a reversal program, a deculturation, a deconstruction program to deconstruct the way our relationships are, the way we think, our value system, axiology, our value system, our epistemology, the way we, see, we look outside ourselves in terms of knowledge and whatnot, but we don't look inward, and that's the way black people, we come from a culture that would, we were spiritual people. We understood the material too, but we recognized God, the creator. We don't do that no more because we done got so immersed in this culture that we have taken on the ways of the dog that we are, our master, that we are under right now. So if I had my way, I would bring together a group of brothers, put together a program, an African-centered program that would include the community in terms of how do we reverse or deculturate or deconstruct the way we think and come up with a reconstruction plan.
You know, as you speak and listen about
it. One other thing.
Go ahead, Brad.
The number one thing that people don't understand, we have been normalized to be pathological. Listen to what I'm saying. We have been normalized. It's three things, three A's that we practice every day. We practice amnesia. We don't know who we are. We practice anxiety, which is a deep fear that's of the unknown. Something behind us, something around us. It's in the literature, psychological literature, that we stay paranoid, especially men. And we are an alienated group of people. Alienation affects your motivation and your values. All three of these things are brought together, we are under one kind of reality. And that reality is based on the logic of white supremacy, racism. But there are other realities. All you have to do is study quantum theory or relativity theory. And they'll tell you that the world that we live in is only one kind of world, one kind of reality. We got to go back as an African people to our original transpersonal psychology.
You know, as I listen to you talking about the rocks, in the past few shows, what really has come out is we've got to pay more attention to each other. We're not paying attention to each other. We're not really seeing each other. What's really concerned, we're not seeing our children. I know us, Brother Ty, we take care of a lot of of our young people, nieces on both sides of the family. We give a lot of monetary support. And I wonder if, and Bobby Ross said this word, I'm bringing up again, we could be our own resource, our own reparations to each other, because we've got to break this cycle. Can we start some type of fund? Because the brothers, you know, what's been stubbed in the system of white supremacy, it's all strikes against the black man. You can't have no job. You're in prison. You can't live this place. You can't have no job. I mean, it's blocks everywhere. So can we set up some type of fund where we know as women or as children somewhere, you can come to us, go to this program within each neighborhood, which in each region, you need clothes, they need socks, the brother need a job. Can we point them to a black business person or entrepreneur? Can we begin to really resource ourselves? Go ahead, Bob Ross, I hear
absolutely.
You. You know, that's my thought. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes. The thing is that there are nearly 50 million African-Americans in the United States of America. Let's just say, and this is a number that we can agree on, about 10 million of those, there's more, but let's just say 10 million African-Americans gave $1 per month towards the black community. How much money is that per month? $10 million. 10 million people giving $1. Mm. How much is that? Real easy number.
Mm-hmm.
It's $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we can fund our own. And if somebody is able to give, look, black folks will buy Gucci. We're buying MCM. We're buying $300 Kanye West shoes, and I love Kanye. And I'm going to tell you why in a second if y'all want to know. But we're buying $300 shoes. So, and that's somebody earning minimum wage. They're going to be decked out with those things. So we can afford to give up $5 a month, $10 a month. So now you're talking about $40, $50, $60 million per month and we can fund everything that we need to have in our community. What the brother said was very interesting about the psychological makeup of the common and the typical American African, right? We got to really change that mindset. And my brother, if you hear me, man, we have these things happening over there, the Black Family Institute. The Black Family Institute is a operation that's coming up to where parents, soon-to-be parents, current parents, have the opportunity to come together on a continual basis to learn conflict resolution skills, to have psychologists and psychiatrists and therapists on hand to work these things out. Because like that brother said, our minds are locked. And not only are they locked, man, we're tuning into radio the wrong way, commercial radio, commercial television. We're listening to these songs created by record labels that are owned by people that don't look like us.
Bobby Rocks, you mentioned
that's one of the things that we need to put together.
You mentioned the Black Family Institute. Is that Strive 365 or is those two different institutions?
Absolutely. Yes. Black Family Institute is under Strive365.org. That came out of the pandemic with these problems, children and so many divorces happening, suicide happening amongst our children. It's a bunch of cool HBCU graduates that put Strive 365 together. That is STRIVE365.org. And they're wonderful programs that are there. Black Family Institute is one of them. That's going to be where family, soon to be families, children, they go into their own breakout sessions.
And they get
plugged into the right resources weekly. And we're the parents, we're talking about conflict resolution. We're educating men and women about the court system and how to avoid it.
We're educating
the pastors because they're acting like they don't know. We're putting the pastors in the room so they can help their congregation be better.
If the
judges are available, we'll take the judges in there. We'll do a breakout room with them to help redirect them on how to better assist the Black family, Black men, Black children, and Black women coming into court.
Let me get this real quick. We got to get
those judges off the bench.
Yeah.
And we get them off the bench by understanding that there's a process that they actually have to go through to be selected. But there's also another process that if you are not selected by the governor, you can actually apply. If you're living in that county, you can apply to run. Nobody can stop you. And if you get the right marketing team, you can actually get the other judge that was appointed by the governor out of the way and get on the bench. That happened in Howard County with John Cuchno, that was a former judge, and also Quincy Coleman, who was the underdog, who decided to apply and run, got the right people involved, and he upset John Cuchno, and he's the first Black African-American judge in Howard County's 200-plus year history that was voted in. So, ladies and gentlemen, it can happen. If we get educated and we have a continual conversation on it, we can be the change that we want to see in our community. But we have to talk about it right now and start to put our resources together and make things happen.
Brother Ty, you fishing on it.
Yeah, I want to ask Bobby Rock.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, I'm going to say something, then I want to ask you your response to it. Listen, the number one thing that happened to us as an African people, a non-immigrant, because we weren't asked to come here willingly. We were forced to come here. Our minds, our consciousness was stolen from us. And when I say that, I mean our history. Now, when you steal a person's history, you steal their conscious awareness of who they are and what they are. And when you're in a position like that, your understanding, your personal and your social responsibility is perverted in terms of you being able to grasp and understand the reality or the context or the culture that you're a part of. So my question to you is, how important is having a knowledge of the history of African people and our journey, which was 360 degrees different from white people? How important is that to you in terms of being a part of the solution to our problem? Because we're talking about people doing this and people doing that. But if they have no conscious awareness, all they're doing is repeating the same thing Europeans doing. We repeating their structures. We will repeat their behaviors, etc. Help me out, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very important. And we have been, like you said, robbed of that. I mean, listening to the beginning of Night of the Living Bassheads by Public Enemy. You know, he's saying, we lost our religion, our culture, our God, and many of us, by the way we act, we've lost our mind. So, yeah, absolutely. We got to get back to that quick, because the further we get away from it, the more of it's more of a possibility that, like you said, with genocide, we're going to be wiped out. We're on the extinct list right now. So we have to really get back to those roots. And look, TV and media has us thinking that we're living and we're fine. No, we're on the extinct list right now. And the courts is helping for that thing to be accelerated. So yes, brother, we have to understand who we are, where we come from, and how we're going forward. So they did a great job of robbing us from that, so we don't know where to go. And we're in a maze going back and forth, and they have us in a maze where there's no exit. We're thinking it's an exit, and we can't get out. So we have to lift ourselves up and get out of the maze completely, because if you're in the sky, you look down at that maze, you can see the trap that they're putting on us. And sometimes it's hard to see the picture when you're in it. That's all I'm going to say.
Profound show. A lot was said in a short time, but I'm so glad this is our first time discussing this topic. What we've come to realize is that the intricacies of the infrastructure of the system of white supremacy that we're in. And if you don't study it, if you don't read about it, as Nellie Fuller taught us, that if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else will confuse you. It can actually be working to de facto maintain it and refine it. And so what I'm hearing listening to Bobby Rocks and Brother Ty is that it's like a two-pronged approach we have to. We've got to get back to our community, take accountability, responsibility, build that up, resource ourselves, give us what we need, the tools, so we can break the pipeline. Because anytime we go into courts, it does not work out for us. For black people, African descent, historically, domestic violence, child support, criminal, you going to prison, you going to jail, your life is being devastated, destroyed. So if we can get our community together, that's what I remember listening to an interview. A lady was from the foster care system. This was some years ago. And they was talking about the high numbers of young children of African descent, the foster care. And then the lady was Asian. She was like, why are the numbers so high? She said, well, years ago, black people took care of their own children. If it was somebody left a child somewhere, they didn't want to take care of a child, a neighbor, a family took care of that child. Children were not going to the foster care system. So we have lost our way to each other and ourselves. And if we can reinforce and build our community, we can shut this stuff down. We can shut these pipelines down. But we, and this is what I'm hearing listening to you and Brother Ty, we got to get back to, we got some work to do. We got some work to do, some education, some campaigns to do. One of the things I want to mention, folks, I was so horrified from research and then listening to Mr. Rocks. We're going to collaborate. We're going to do a three-city tour, DMV tour, Africa 500, Ham Radio, Bobby Rocks starting in August. It's going to be August, September, October, Baltimore, PG County, and D.C. We decided all this within the last 2 days. We was like, we got to put this out here, and we got to start solutionizing, going out to the communities. So make sure you keep up with Ham Radio, Facebook, social media, Kuma Report, Bobby Rocks social media. We're going to give y'all the dates, but it's going to start in August, September, October, the last Saturday of each month. Also, I mentioned Lynn Haney, saw her sociology professor, white woman, has written quite a bit about incarcerated fatherhood, child support debt. She has some reports, but also some more up-to-date reports also. But this is something we got to bring to the forefront. I want to do, what's the final, what would be our final suggestion, Bobby Rocks, go to Brother Ty, Brother Richard, for our men that's listening and also for our sisters. What would be like your final, what should they take away from today's show? What should they take away from today's show? A lot has been said. I'm going to start with you, Bobby Rocks.
I would say that a well-defined problem is half solved. So we know what the problem is, and we got to just put our boots to the ground and get some things together. Mm-hmm. For the brothers, there is a weekly discussion that's happening that we're putting together for fathers, soon to be fathers, or mm-hmm. father season. We say, like, say seasoned fathers who've been doing it for a minute. We want all those men to get together and have a continued conversation on a regular. That is called the Super Dad Group, SUPACAD. Mm-hmm. That is also on strive365.org. Brothers need to have a conversation. We got an event, and we got things, not an event, but we have a system in place for the sisters mm-hmm. to also have a parallel group to where they're talking on the continuum, because we need the young sisters to talk to the sisters,
yes.
the elders in the community, and mm-hmm. that's what the African community used to be about and still is about, mm-hmm. and we have to be able to make that happen. So the young 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds and yes. a 20-year-old, 25-year-old mm-hmm. need to talk to the 60, 70, mm-hmm. and 80-year-old sisters. So we're mm-hmm. putting that together through Strive 365, and again, you know, we're going to just keep talking about this. Mm-hmm. It should be an everyday conversation,
yeah.
and it shouldn't be annoying. That's a telltale sign. If someone's annoyed by us having a continual conversation on how to empower ourselves and help ourselves, mm-hmm. then they are not with our community, and we need to leave those people alone. Mm-hmm. And I'll end right there.
Bye, Russ. When is your show? Let us know when is your show so we can tune in and listen to you with our audience. We want to share our audience. So please, when do you air and your times and day? Mm-hmm.
The show airs. It's on the Jazz and Justice Strip at 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., WPFW, or the call letters. And I anchor it down every Friday
mm-hmm.
from 3 to 5 p.m. It is free and clear to listen to. We play a good bit, you know, we play music well, so we're going to get in there and have a good time. But our music mm-hmm. is uplifting. You're going to hear love music and not mm-hmm. the love music that some people may think about, but just, mm-hmm. You know, thought-provoking conversation mm-hmm. and music that's going to motivate and teach. Mm-hmm. And we put that together as a way for people to get in on the show and recharge, to be educated, to be invigorated. Sometimes you need to hear some good music mm-hmm. to be able to be inspired, to be empowered. But then we give you that conversation mm-hmm. and that action plan in between. So once again, I am on Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. on 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. And my Instagram is at Bobby Rocks. That's at B-O-B-B-Y-R-O-X, mm-hmm. at B-O-B-B-Y. R-O-X, I am the Black Child Advocate and superhero to struggling Black families.
Wow, beautiful. Brother Ty, what should the brothers take away from today's show and our sisters? Well, you need more time. You need Brother Richard to go.
All right.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, mm-hmm. I'm putting out a call to everybody that's has some conscious awareness of the times that we are a part of and that are listening to this show. I would like to bring together a school a psychological therapeutic school that's African-centered here in Baltimore, like Bobby Wright did in Chicago, like Dr. Wilson did in D.C., and like Malcolm X did in New York, et cetera. I would like to bring together a school where we can begin to teach and educate one another on African history and the psychological nature of us as a people. Because I'm saying this because Western psychology, I went to school for it, is a defunct. It can't solve our problems. So, as the brother said, we need to immediately begin to come up fast and begin to develop a program or programs that will assist us not only in our survival, but our continued existence into the future.
What should the brothers take away from today's show? And what should our sisters take away from today's show?
I just said it.
Okay.
Support me.
Okay.
Let's come together.
Okay.
Call. Talk to Bobby Rock. Talk to Bobby Rock. Tell Bobby Rock I want to meet that brother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Let's come together and start a school.
Okay. All right. Brother Richard, what should the brothers and the sisters take away from today's show?
We need to have a plan. And we need to, like the brother said, we need to not just talk about it. These conversations are great, and we need to have these conversations, like the brother was saying. But we need to have an action plan. Because the people that put the system in place, they had a plan. This child support, all of this stuff that we're talking about, this was planned out years before. We're now just grasping how deep the roots of this is. And just that assembly that Brother Ty said, this is a slavery. Just think about that. Brothers are out here going to jail because they can't pay child support. Fathers that want to be
shot,
yeah, getting shot, getting killed, but it's getting out of hand. But also another thing for the sisters is that I don't think they understand the dynamic of what they're getting themselves into. You know, because it's so easily that they can get funds from the child support office. They can easily put a man on child support by just putting him on, getting daycare vouchers for the kid. But they don't realize it. So the education piece has to be on both sides, the male and the female.
Back to Nearly Full, if you don't understand racism and white supremacy, what it is and how it works, everything else will confuse you. Folks, it's been just a very powerful show. We got work to do. Again, we are doing a three-type collaboration DMV listening tour. We're going to be going through Baltimore, PG County, D.C., bringing folks together to talk about this specific topic, the brothers and the sisters. We're going to have two panels, but folks will come in. And the more we have these tours, which I think may come out of this, is that we're going to be able to unpack. And if you unpack enough, the solutions come to you. The ideas come to you. And people say, oh, let me do this. I could do that. And so that's what I'm looking forward to by the time you have another comment.
Just like Bobby Rock said about the judges. And what you just said, Tommy Cole, the more you reveal inconsistencies and faults in the system, the devil will back up.
This is what George Jackson told us in his book.
The devil will back up.
God destroyed the
image. And back away and try to hide even deeper in that little crevice that he's in.
So we're going to be doing that. Please, you got Bobby Rock's information. Stay tuned, Ham Radio. Bobby Rock, any final words? We have enjoyed you immensely. It's been an honor to have you. Any final words for us?
I just want to say I want to thank you all for putting together this show. Give me an opportunity to come here and speak for the people. So definitely bless you all for that. You know, you all are doing great things. And, you know, again, can't say enough for you all stepping out here and being courageous to make that happen. But I think the time is now, and I think it's happening. You know, you ask yourself today, everybody feels good, and it's a different type of power that's taking place right now. And we're taking action, and that's what we're doing.
There you go.
I'm looking forward to the tour as working together. I'm looking forward to see who comes out and how that's going to go. It's going to be interesting. Well, folks, we're going to go back. We're going to Taronda Jones is going to take us out with Black Man. And just join us next week. We're going to pick up again talking about the state of the Black diaspora. Brother Francois is coming back. It's a lot going on with us across the nation. And then we're going to have Dr. Andrea back talking about the global economy, digital economy that's going on, just some future economic models. Some things we can do to make some money, to build some money. And we're going to continue. So stay tuned. Stay with Africa 500. We're taking this into the future. We are changing this. We're building our own systems. People of the sun, stay in the light.
Tanahi, do you know your duty here on earth as a black man?
Yes.
What is that?
To love and to protect.
Good. Anything else?
Yes. To honor God.
Good.
It ain't nothing like a black man. Ooh, black skin dripping in some melanin. I wonder if he knows he got it within. He's so goddamn fine, it should be a sin. He articulate, intelligent, fly. It ain't nobody better than him. The apple to a black woman's eye. He got the kind of light that no man could ever dim. Black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You are smart, you are kind, you are sweet, and you can do anything. I said you can do anything. Black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You are smart, you are kind, you are sweet, and you can do anything. I said you can do anything.
Your strength, your love, heaven sent from above. Black man. Black man,
He's a father and a brother, uplifting our daughters and our mothers. Provider and a son, and I ain't talking about the summer, but he hot enough to melt some butter, bright enough to light the world with his skin color. Black man, you a masterpiece. Missing piece to the puzzle, without it, I'm incomplete. A black man that rolls and grew from the concrete. Opening all doors, you a master key. I said, black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You a smart, you a kind, you a sweet, and you can do anything. I said, you can do anything. Black man, a king. A black man to me is everything. You a smart, you a kind, you a sweet, and you can do anything. I said, you can do anything.
Your strength, your love.
Black man, black man, black man, a king. Black man. A black man to me man, is everything. You're smart, you was kind, you're sweet, and you can do anything. You can do anything.
Black man, black man,
black man,
black man, black man.
Black man. Your love,
we need
your strength. Heaven sent from above. I said, your strength, your love.
Gotta have you here.
Heaven sent
keep you near.
From above. Black man, black man,
black
a king.
Man, black man.
A black man to me is
black
everything.
Man, black man.
You was smart, you was kind, you was sweet.
Black
you can do anything. I said, you can do anything. Your love, your strength, heaven sent from above.
You're strong, you're mighty, you're everything, everything to me.
Your strength,
black man, black man.
Your love,
black man, black man.
Heaven sent. From above.
We love you. We need you. Gotta have you.
Yeah.
You gotta live.
Black man, black man.
You gotta live.
Black man, black man.
We need you to live.
Yeah. I said, black man, a king.
Black man, black man.
A black man to me is everything.
Black man, black man.
You was smart, you was kind, you was sweet,
black man, black
and you can do anything. I said, you can do anything. Black man, black man,
black
a king. Man. A black man to me is everything. You was smart, you was kind,
black
you was sweet,
man.
And you can do anything. I said, you can do anything. Father God, I just want to take the time to say thank you. If I had 1,000 tongues, I wouldn't be able to thank you enough. But for now, thank you for the black man.
Black man.